Good morning. It's so great to see y'all. As Colin was saying, I'm Ashley. I'm the Duke intern for the summer, and it's been such a privilege to serve here at St. George's. But it's also been a big summer for movies. There's been a really big release of the Barbie movie, which I got to see on Friday, and it was just as pink and wonderful as I was hoping. And it was so great. I really recommend everyone go see it. But I know it's supposed to be about the women in the movie, but the supporting male leads truly do steal the show. So not only has there been Barbie, but there's been Oppenheimer, and we got a fourth Indiana Jones movie, and a new Wes Anderson film, and plenty of others. Now, for a lot of people, one of the best parts about going to the movies are the previews. They give us a little taste of what's to come, but also what they do in the movie is prepare us for the plot points or what's going to develop and come later. They get you excited, and they let you know what's coming. I, however, do not enjoy the previews. In fact, I try to time it so that I get there as late as possible. I don't like them to spoil them. They always do. And so I don't. And there's some real pros and cons to my strategy. The first thing is I get exactly what I want, which is to not know the nature of the film that I'm going to see. And the con is that I also get what I want, and I do not know the nature of the film that I'm going to go see. And this downside I encountered when I went with a friend to go see what I thought was a really funny girl power movie and ended up being so dark and so depressing and totally killed the vibe of the rest of our night. So maybe my approach is wrong. Maybe I should watch the previews. I probably won't, but maybe I could try. But I wanna use this idea of a preview or a scene from a movie and talk about the gospel for today. Today is the feast of the day of the Transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ, which commemorates the scene that was read in our gospel reading for the day. And the Transfiguration functions kind of like a preview. It's a sneak peek at the true nature and glory of Christ, about the character of our God, and it is hinting toward the fulfillment of all the law and the prophecies, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. One of the gifts of the Feast of the Transfiguration is this remarkable curation of scripture, readings for us to listen and digest and to understand the immensity of the Lord's glory and holiness. God's presence is so good, it's so true, it's so pure, it's so holy that it changes the physical appearance of those who encounter him. And our reading from Exodus 34, Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the tablets containing all the law, and his face was shining because he had been talking to God. His presence reflected the greatest glory you could ever know. Who their God was could be seen on Moses' face, and the Israelites were scared. And I want to talk about that fear for a moment, because it's not just that his face was shining and it was unusual and it rattled the Israelites. It's that they got a glimpse of the true glory and nature of their God. They were made aware of the truth of their condition, their own of our condition. Their experience of God put into perspective their own lives and sins. God is so great. The Lord is so perfect. And the Israelites, as humans, were fallen. Moses continued to be transfigured, and the awareness of God's glory never faded. They never got used to it. So Moses had to wear a veil around his people to assuage their fear. Imagine a connection to that kind of power. It's the smallest glimmer of God. I mean, it barely just scrapes the surface of who he is. And the Israelites needed Moses to cover up, and they could not handle it. No amount of time desensitized them to his magnificence. And I know this is probably a very minute comparison, but think of your favorite movie. Think of the first time you watched it and how exciting it was, the joy you felt, every scene, every surprise. And maybe you left it inspired, especially if it was some true story that was great. Now think about the fact that you've probably watched it a second time, a third time, and a fourth time. You still enjoy it, but it doesn't carry the same surprise. It doesn't carry the same power. It doesn't carry the same weight. You're desensitized to it. It's not new. That doesn't happen with God. It doesn't happen to the Israelites. Moses continues to have to cover his face. And I don't know if y'all have ever heard someone talk about a mountaintop experience in their faith. Maybe you've had one. It's very similar to the scene with Moses, the Israelites, and God. Moses is changed by this powerful encounter with God. But then he must come back down to the mountain and to lead the Israelites. He doesn't get to stay on the mountain. Many people describe when they describe mountaintop experiences or spiritual high. They also describe the descent off that mountain. Where they had once been so keenly aware of God's presence, they had to return to everyday life with friends and coworkers and family who they may love but might frustrate them or make them annoyed, or maybe they're feeling angry or they're lonely or they might not be feeling much of anything. The mountaintop awareness or clarity of God's presence at work in their lives or our lives becomes distant or foggy. Some might call this descent from the mountain a return to reality, which I think a lot of us might relate to. I know I often have. But I want to offer up some words on this subject from our very own Reverend Taylor. He spoke these to me in my first week here and again earlier this week when he was talking about the transfiguration of Jesus. Reverend Taylor said that the Most High is the most real. That is the reality, and everything else skews that. Whatever experience of God we have, that is the most real experience of our lives. I have thought about those words every single day that I've been here at St. George's since my first day. When he said them, not realizing at the time that in my final weeks at St. George's, I'd have the privilege of speaking about the Transfiguration, a very real encounter with the Most High. There have been many moments in my faith journey where I felt like it was a mountaintop experience. I would describe them that way. I was so connected. I was so excited. But in my own sin, I also fell from those mountains. That was hard, feeling like this connection to God was not a constant state of reality for me or for others. So every day, I thought about those words. The Most High is the most real. And for Moses, I think those words ring true. He was not only physically changed by his encounter with God, but it changed him inwardly. He went off to do the work that God had given him, resting in the knowledge that his relationship with God was the most real thing in his life. It empowered him to learn to leave the security of the mountain. It would carry him through his travels, his trials, and his ministry. God wants us to know him. He desires connection and relationship with us. And as part of that, the Lord gave Israelites the law through Moses in order that they might understand his will and dwell in unity and love with their creator and their neighbors. But as I was saying, this is just one preview. When we look to today's gospel reading in Luke, the Lord gives us another preview, another scene, to help us understand the depth of God's love for us. Our gospel reading begins in Luke 9, verse 28, with Jesus taking three disciples, Peter, John, and James, up a mountain to go pray. And I don't know about you, but I'm sensing a theme about the geography of where this stuff is happening. They're all on mountains. And while they were praying, they had an incredible encounter with God and with the reality of Christ's glory. Luke goes on to say that Christ's face was changed and his clothes became dazzling white. I mean, so radiant was this color. No amount of OxyClean or stain remover or brightener or vinegar is going to do it. Nothing earthly. It was a work of God, revealing the glory of Christ. But the encounter does not stop there. Moses and Elijah appear, and they were speaking to Christ about his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. And the word departure is significant here because in the Greek, it's exodos, or exodus, meaning Christ's exit, more specifically his death. Our church remembers and continues to celebrate the transfiguration because it's hinting at the culmination of Christ's ministry as a human and what the scriptures have been pointing to all along. It's a message of what's to come. The appearance of Moses and Elijah is crucial not just because they are prominent figures from the Hebrew scripture, but because they represent two ways in which God reached out to humans to invite them into relationship with him. Moses and Elijah represent the old covenant made between God and the Hebrew people. Moses here represents all the law. And Elijah was not just any prophet, he was the prophet. And often his name is invoked to represent all the prophets. The appearance of these two major figures during the transfiguration weaves together the law and the prophets, the justice and the forgiveness of the old covenant with the new covenant given by our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. To the whole world, earlier in the same chapter, Luke 9, Christ, in speaking to his disciples, asks them who the crowds say that he is. And they respond, some say that he's Elijah, others John the Baptist, and still others say some ancient prophet who was raised up. But then Christ asks who they say that he is. And Peter responds, the Messiah of God. Christ is not just another bearer of the law, nor is he just a prophet. Christ is the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. What Christ accomplishes on the cross, he does so once for the forgiveness of all of our sins. He is the deliverer, the only one we need. The transfiguration of both Jesus Christ and Moses demonstrates how the Spirit of God has worked throughout the entirety of the scriptures. They point us toward his son, toward salvation. Just like the Israelites, the disciples don't fully grasp their experience with God. They see the glory and the two men, and Peter rightly recognizes that it is good and wants to make dwellings for them to stay up on the mountain, to live with the Most High forever. But what Peter doesn't understand is exactly what he's seeing. He does not grasp what Christ needs to do to save us. Elijah, Moses, and Jesus were speaking of Christ's departure, his exodus, his death. He can't stay up on the mountain, just like Moses could not stay up on the mountain. God interrupts Peter at this point, just like in Exodus with Moses, a cloud appears, and God speaks from it, declaring that this is Christ, my son, my chosen, and commanding them to listen to him. Then Elijah and Moses were gone, and Jesus was left alone. And the disciples said nothing about this amazing event that they had witnessed, but they recorded it in our Gospels. Not even Jesus got to stay up at the mountaintop in the glory with the Most High in that reality. He had to come back down to live as one of us and die for our sins. Three of the four Gospels all describe the transfiguration. It was so important to the writers of Scripture that we remember this day and we celebrate that the Most High really is the most real part of our life. And our readings from Exodus, the Psalm, and the Gospel, and 2 Peter, if you so desire to do so on your own time, they show us that throughout Scripture, God's love for his creation is constantly showing us who he is, and giving us ways to be connected to him. The transfiguration is a preview of the very real sacrifice that God made for us. We are not meant to stay up on the mountain and dwell there, because God does not stay up there. The mountaintop scene is one, only one, and Scripture paints an image of God who is always present to us wherever we are and at any point, high or low. Never ceasing to try and show us who he is. Our God is a God who knows us and does not want to stay hidden from us, wishing for us to rest in him always, asking us to trust that the Most High is the most real. Amen.